Namaste. So as we know that, you know, one has to have the call for the path, and the call comes, the sign that there is the call is that whatever we may have in this world, with all its achievements, something we feel is missing. And we seek for that. This is the sign that one is ready for the call. This call to this yoga is not through disappointment in worldly life, because, you know, one has felt like a failure. That cannot sustain the momentum for long. So the call comes, really speaking, when you have everything or whatever within your limits you can have, but yet you feel something is missing and that something one is seeking. But when the call is there for the yoga, what is the first thing to be done? So the mother says, and Shobindu says, the first thing is to create the firm foundation for this yoga. If you don't have a firm foundation and you want to make the building house of the spirit, the new creation, then because the foundation is not strong, your effort will constantly sink. Like, you know, Park Guest House, the building, they were trying the wall and it was sinking. So you must have the, we must have the firm foundation. And if this foundation is not firm, ultimately if one has opened, there is a call, one will arrive, that is for sure. But then one has to labor a lot more, because whatever one has achieved will tend to collapse. Whatever you have achieved will tend to collapse. So the firm foundation of this yoga, as Sri Aurobindo has reminds us again and again, is calm, peace, equanimity. So for a long time, this should be the practice. Everything that disturbs, and one of the first gifts in this yoga is peace. First thing she brings as a gift, take peace. But human nature, oh, I feel very dull. Because we are by nature restless. Then the forces which are at play. See, you are so dull. Because they don't want this peace. So mother says at one point, resist all temptation to lose your peace. Resist this temptation. So this first thing is to build calm, peace, equanimity. Especially equanimity. Equanimity is the broad foundation of yoga. Now what equanimity means? That we'll have enough opportunity throughout the day when certain things will be favorable and certain things will not be favorable according to the ego mode of functioning. So people whom you like, you want to meet, suddenly you will meet people whom you don't like. And you have to not only meet them, you have to sit and work with them. So what do you do with that? So take it as a practice of yoga. Take it that this is a golden opportunity given to me to practice equanimity. And if we can go one step further and see the divine aspect in everybody, wonderful. Everybody has something beautiful. If you can see that, then that's one step further. But at least equanimity. But we have a tendency to, you know, gravitate toward those whom we like and shun those whom we dislike. Now those people will be brought again and again in contact with us. Now here we have to be careful that like, dislike is different from people who are helpful to the yoga and those influences that are harmful. That's where we have to be careful. Equanimity doesn't mean that I'll be indiscriminate. Indiscriminate means, okay, I have to practice equanimity. Therefore, I'll go to eat anywhere. I'll sit with anybody. I'll share a meal with anyone. No. Because there are influences till one is deeply rooted in the yoga. If you try that, surely you'll land up in a cropper. So for a long time, one has to be vigilant and one should learn to discern which company. And it's not about mental ideas. Oh, he's a good guy. He may be a good guy, but good people is as much a mask as, you know, our outer badness is a mask. What is inside is a whole world. It's a can of worms. So when we go, because we are practicing yoga, we become very susceptible. So one has to be discerning about the company. But if something like that happens, that we are in the best companies, of course the divine. Or the company of God seekers. That's what initially it is advised. That's why satsang. That's why it is said that for a long time initially, be in the company of God seekers. So there you are, at least you know that it's easy to orient. But stay away from the company of those who are going to throw doubts, who are just leading the what is normally called as ordinarily the worldly life. This distinction is there for the practice of yoga. One has to remember it. Because by worldly life means who are only living to strengthen their ego. So if you go into their company and start, you know, becoming friends then, or parties and all these things, it is bound to have an adverse influence and then the journey will take much longer. And in some instances, probably the whole thing will just fail and fall and collapse. So initially, one has to be very careful about the company one keeps. But at the same time, say if you are traveling, if you will meet a lot of people in your workplace, at your home, where you are working, you may not like, you may like, just stay away from that. Practice equanimity, try to see the goodness of people. So this subtle distinction one has to understand. So this is equanimity at the level. There are people who will say different opinions, they will have different opinions than your own. Practice equanimity. Know that each one has a right to their opinion. And we are not here to convert anybody. And that is his journey. It's okay. There are people who may not even believe in God. It's their business or God's business. It's not our business. You can stay away from their company. Because people who have that kind of, some people even have a hatred or all kinds of things. Stay away from their company. Nobody is saying that, you know, you actively interact with them. But it's their business, their problem. Not enter into a debate and discussion. Or everybody must believe in Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Then we are becoming evangelist, zealot fervor. All this leads to fanaticism and fundamentalism. And we should stay away from that. The mother knows whom to convert and whom not to convert. If conversion word can be used. Conversion is a very different word in spiritual sense. It means converting the consciousness to that mode of living. It's not a belief. Normally we think by conversion that you have had a belief. You changed your belief. Or a system for lure or for fear. That is not conversion. Conversion is when inwardly your consciousness is now convinced that this is the path it must take. That is true conversion. And that takes place within by the divine grace. Nobody is here to convert anyone. So there are people who will have different opinions. Sometimes they will express their opinion very loudly, vociferously. And it's best not to enter into animated discussions and debates. Practice the yoga quietly. If you have to, sometimes, if somebody says something against your master, you may give a punch, but give a punch without any anger or hatred and give a punch and walk out of that place. I mean, it's a way of saying, but don't start a war and all. We are not here for that. Okay, and things will disturb inside. So this is the second kind of equanimity. Then at the heart, you will have people who don't like you, people who may have very critical opinion about you. What do you do about them? Know that in everyone the divine dwells and your value does not depend upon anybody's evaluation. Once for all, often people ask this question. What do you do about people who have hurt you? Why did we allow them to hurt me? Who will hurt me? That someone whom I give too much of importance. Whose words I am giving too much value. If you don't give value, does a passerby hurt you? If a passerby says something, we don't get hurt. We may even feel amused. But we get hurt by the opinion of those whom we value. Also why? Because we are expecting all the time that the person will praise me. Why should he? So if a person says something which we don't like, look inside and see whether this criticism is justified or not. So if you feel ki yes, probably there is an, you know, something which I need to learn. And maybe I need to master that tendency. So should be happy that I have discovered something. And if it is of no value, just discard it. But don't give importance to that opinion so much or value to that person so much. Because then we will start creating a self-image. See, it is the other side of vanity. So what is normally we do? We build images and live according to those images. So we want to project an image. Image of this kind, that kind, depending on, you know, what we want to project to the world. Now when that image is broken because somebody says, you are not that. Whether you are that or not is not the issue. But somebody says, now that image is gone. So what we do, if we go like that, all our life we will only end up forming images. But yoga is not about images, it's about truth and reality. So again, what is truth and reality? Not some people will say, okay, be what you are. Be what you are, but also know that you have to be what you are not yet, and yet you can be. So this be what you are is not a static thing. Yes, one should, you know, inner and outer should be the same. But at the same time, this inner is not a static inner. What I am today is not my ultimate truth. My goal should be what I can be tomorrow. So this is how people's opinions, people may love you, then walk away tomorrow. Life is like that. It's full of all these unexpected things. Don't carry bitterness. And the only way to safeguard in such situation is expect all love and everything only from the Divine Mother. Of course, people say that don't expect anything from other. All right. Don't expect anything from others, but then you need that love. No, where will your quota come from? Otherwise, it's easy to say don't expect anything from others. So after some time, you'll become very dry, shriveled up. You'll see some people, when they follow this doctrine, don't expect anything from others. If they seriously start practicing it, they become very dry inside. Or else, they start turning from this person to that person till they finally find somebody and eventually learn that no, not even this. So the correct way is, turn to the mother for everything. Learn to tune into her. All love should come from her. And then you share it. Then when you love and you get hurt, no problem. Because you are never deprived. Maybe for a moment you may feel not the lack of love, but maybe if somebody deceives you, you may feel momentarily, oh, this is life. But then this is life in the ignorance. Forgive. That's how life is. People are bound by their nature. Forgive. And then move on. Don't linger long, because your goal is much further. If somebody walks with you, wonderful. And if the person refuses to walk, fine. So carry on. So that's how it should be. So this is about the heart. So this is another side of equanimity. Life. Life goals. Success, failure, praise, criticism. Every time this happens, practice equanimity. Know that, accept the divine. Nobody can judge you. Don't be moved because people are praising you. They are digging a ditch right next to you. Oh, so many, you know, people are hearing the talk, so they are so happy. Oh, this is happening. Don't get into that mode. Because if you get into that mode, it is very dangerous. The spiritual ego can be very, very nasty. So just know that, okay, smile. Know inwardly. You don't have to say every time that, you know, it is all mother. Sometimes that also appears like, you know, just inwardly know that it is nothing to do with me. It is all yours. But if you start believing in it, it may or may not be true, but if you start believing in it, then it is dangerous. And similarly, when people criticize you, when you are not seeking praise, then criticism will not affect you. One of the signs of the converted vital is that it is no more moved by, it's no more seeking praise, and it's no more moved by criticism. And the same finally with the body. So sometimes bodily conditions will be comfortable. You will have nice bed, nice weather. Everything will be fine. Nice food. What all? Bodily. Healthy body. Then you're feeling strong. Some days your body will not be. You'll have a headache. You will have a body pain. Something. Illness diagnosed somewhere. Or weather is not good. Or simply that today the food was not very good. I think they forgot to put salt into it. They had said there will be sweet in the dining room. What happened? There was no sweet. Huh? Samosa was cold. Practice equanimity. It's okay. Wonderful opportunity. That means when these things happen, then know that God has taken your resolution seriously. And the day we can be freed from it, take it that now I am on the path. So equanimity, endurance, even to an extent indifference, it doesn't mean don't enjoy the sweet. Huh? If you get nice samosa, you should know the difference. Shurvinda says, it doesn't mean you are indiscriminate. At every level you discern. Suddenly there is a cold weather which may not be good for your body. Know that difference. But don't let it affect you in, oh my God, it is so cold. Oh my God, when will the weather improve? It should not create restlessness. Wear a sweater or a jacket and go out or stay inside. Similarly, if the food is not tasty, if it is, know that, you know, or it is stale. Nobody is saying that, you know, but if it is tasty, certainly you can appreciate it. But don't be tied to it. Don't start looking for it. So this is the way equanimity has to be practiced. So peace, calm, call peace, calm, peace, like a mantra, till it is deeply rooted inside. And then it will extend into various activities. Initially, there should be a fundamental state of calm and peace. Then it will extend into every detail of life. You'll observe that, oh, this thing still disturbs me. Work on that. Then you'll see that something else slightly you never knew, but this can still disturb. So this way, when we proceed, then we have built a strong foundation on which the building will of new creation can come up very beautifully. Namaste.